You are listening to the Wealth Without Bay Street podcast, a Canadian guide to building dependable wealth. Join your hosts, Richard Canfield and Jason Lowe, as they unlock the secrets to creating financial peace of mind in an uncertain world. Discover the strategies and mindsets to a financial future that you can bank on.
Get our simple 7-step guide to becoming your own banker. It's easy. Head over to 7steps.ca and learn exactly the learning process required for you to implement this amazing strategy into your financial life. That's 7steps.ca.
It is, it's just honestly, sincerely a pleasure to be here with you both. And congratulations on your journey and your success and how you're serving the people and your presence on YouTube and how you grew that from nothing into a mammoth channel that continues rising in popularity. Congratulations, sincerely.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Y'all saw us from the bottom. So you've seen the process.
Not from the bottom.
Yeah.
Just from the couch.
Yeah.
Well, just, you know, we being headquartered up here in Canada, so when we started our journey on YouTube, so we had been aware of channels like yours. Wealth Nation is the channel that we're talking about. If you haven't subscribed to that channel, you have an opportunity. So for all of our viewers on the YouTubes, just make sure that you ease on over to the channel, subscribe. There's a ton of great content that gets published regularly, and you'll be glad that you did that. And when we made the decision to get going on YouTube, that wasn't until 2022 when we really said, look, we're going to place an emphasis on this. And what gave rise to it was Joe Polish in the Genius Network Mastermind. Evan Carmichael became a part of the group, and he had challenged everybody. He said, look, you need to go all in on YouTube because people are going there to learn.
Yeah.
And so Joe said, okay, I'll be the first to step up. I'm going to do 221 videos on my YouTube channel this upcoming year. I put my hand up and I said, we'll do 222. Had no idea what to do. So immediately I thought about who, not how. Mm-hmm. And Evan was kind enough. And Evan's actually implementing IBC. He's a client of mine.
Fantastic.
Wow. So he said, hey, I just want to help. I just want to be helpful. And he helped us get off the ground. And when you look at sort of comparing the countries where Canada has a population that's a little bit less than the state of California.
Exactly.
And you look at how our channel has progressed, you know, we're, again, all the credit to my teammates, but our channel's progressing. But would you agree with, so most people who embark on that journey on YouTube, they just don't stick with it. Like they want to see 100,000 plus subscribers by next Friday, not really understanding that it takes work and it takes consistency. And what would you say to viewers about that?
I would agree, because I mean, it ebbs and flows. YouTube changes things often and you have to go with those changes. Some of the things that you did 6 months ago doesn't work the same as it does currently. So yes, just consistency is probably the biggest thing that prevents people from growing their channels.
Yeah. And I'd say too, you know, it's really interesting. I totally agree with you. So many people are like, I'm going to do YouTube. And we're like, okay, can you consistently maintain YouTube? Like your life depends on it. And you know, in some instances it does. Right. And so, the biggest thing that I would say is, as we've noticed, as our channel has grown and grown and grown, there's even more work and more pressure that comes to maintaining that. Right.
100%.
So every now and then we're like, oh, remember the days when he had like 500 people watching the video, you know? And so it's just that there's more that comes with more subscribers, and we're so grateful, but it's been an amazing journey of just learning how this whole process grows.
And experience.
Now, how did you guys make that commitment together as a team? And you're like, okay, we're going to give this YouTube thing a whirl. Or was it like, we discussed it, we put some, you know, we put some spreadsheets together, we had the whiteboard going, and after our cost benefit analysis, we says we're going to double down our efforts on YouTube, because you guys operate, you know, you have your unique abilities, and as a team you work really well together. So I'm curious, at the beginning when you made that decision, was it let's just put something up there and see how it works, which I'm thinking Carmen would have went for. And Darius was probably more like, wait a second, how does this fit into a spreadsheet? Am I on track or how did it all come together? Let us know.
You know us all too well. The engineer, he needed to know every single nuance, right? You know, it was so simple, Rich. Food was the motivation. So as you are humbly growing your business, you will do just about anything to get in front of your next client. And so we were doing a ton of networking back in 2017, 2018, like literally 4 to 5 networking events every single week.
In a new city that we just moved to recently. Arizona at the time.
Yeah. And we were trying to, you know, spread the good word. We're like, yo, y'all need to know about infinite banking. Like we were just standing on our soapboxes, you know, on the corner of the streets, like somebody listen. And they just weren't listening. And
we haven't tried that. Just the sign on the soapbox at the corner. We haven't gone that route. Maybe we need to add that into the repertoire.
Next, we'll try the flappy man. You know, we'll try that too and see if we can get attention that way.
My daughter loses it every time we drive by. The squiggly man. She just loses it every time we see one.
Yeah. And it just, you know, by the grace of God, one of our best friends, Marissa Romero, check out her YouTube channel as well. She's a YouTuber and a client. And she was like, hey, I'm thinking about my policies at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I need to watch a video of you guys, like explaining some of these things over and over again, so I can cement this level of understanding. Yeah. And she said, can you just put some videos on YouTube so I can have you at my disposal everywhere you go? And we're like, yeah. And at the time we were thinking, genius, we'll create a video library for the same questions we get time and time again. And we can just say, hey, Rich, check out this video. You know, hey, Jason, check this one out, or, you know, send it in emails. And the very first person that reached out to us, I think it was like our third video on YouTube, was from South Africa. And we're like, hey, how do I do this in South Africa? And we're like, I'm sorry, what?
how did you get this?
Yeah, because we didn't understand the SEO mechanism that YouTube was. We just thought it was the place where people to put cat videos and baby videos on, not knowing the mammoth of what it was behind the scenes.
Right. Well, again, for all of our viewers watching this, your channel is spectacular. And so we tip our hat to you and say job well done. And if you were to reflect back now on your journey with the infinite banking concept, this process. So reflecting back on years of this journey now, what is inspiring you the most now compared to when you first got started in your journey?
Our family's grown. It's not just a Darius and Carmen show. It's Darius, Carmen, and a little one. It's our family is getting older. And as the youngest ones in our family, we know that we have big responsibilities as adjustments and things happen in our families. So that's the focus, family.
Everything begins and ends there.
It does. Yeah.
Everything begins and ends there. And we can relate to this too, very much so, because we found that in the marketplace. So as, and perhaps you can both relate to this too. So as our business grew, people were very focused on implementing this at the individual level. Like, I need to get a policy for me. I need to get this going in my life. I need to get it started. And then when we began to have these conversations around how to implement this at the family level, there was a lot of questions around how do I explain this concept to family members? How do I get people to understand it the way that I do? And that was a signal to us that we had to really place a high degree of emphasis on helping them, because we were doing it in our own family.
Absolutely.
And it's like, why don't we transfer this knowledge to our client community and help them by actually helping them do this at the family level? And having kids involved and explaining it in a ridiculously simple way, it just sort of, brings down the barriers with the adults in the room to say, you know what, we don't have to try and complicate this. It really is truly simple. And so that is very much in alignment with where we are too in our journey and helping people embrace it at a family level, because most often existing clients say, oh gosh, I can insure other people that I have a beneficial interest in. What would the advantage of that be? Mm-hmm. And once you get into explaining it, the solution becomes clear.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I mean, what you're doing with your family is amazing. And even after seeing you a couple of weeks ago in Vegas, like Kermit and I looked at each other like, oh man, it's not that we have plenty of time, because our daughter's going to be four this year, but there's some things that we need to have in place and conversations we need to have in place so that the conversation is simple, mm-hmm. easy. Mm-hmm. And one thing that came to mind is the fact that just aside from the family, I wanted to make that point, but we do this now and we don't have to worry about it in the future. The reason why I say that is because when you think about what Nelson Nash said in the book, is the fact that ideally it should be grandparents buying policies on children.
Yeah.
When they, our family, are brought up in the system, we don't have to teach it again. It becomes a way of life, and a way of life that's passed on to the next generation. So we have to be the ones that go first and start the policies on ourselves, start the policies on our children, make sure they understand it so that we can start policies on our grandchildren. So it's just the hard part for most people is getting started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very true. It's interesting you mentioned that. I have a really story that I'm actually working on something for a gentleman who's a client of mine, and he has two kids, and they're about 9 and 11, somewhere in that range. And so they actually have policies that he got on them early on, and they're 20 pay policies, the typical kind of standard ones, although a decent size, mm-hmm. but on the mindset of, oh, in 20 years, we won't have to fund it anymore. And so now understanding about IBC, learning more about it, he recognizes that we want to be able to continue funding that. Yeah. And so one of the issues that's been created is because they have these policies and they're seasoned, they're entering their ninth year.
Wow.
They're in a position where in 11 years, they won't be able to put any premium in. Ooh. So they can't make it grow anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And additionally, you know, he has a not a heart condition, but in as family history, there's some heart issues in the family history, and it impacted actually even his own insurance application. And so he's wondering, okay, will that potentially affect, you know, my children now? So do I need to get something else? They have a great policy. They have coverage. What they don't have, guaranteed insurability. So we're now looking at getting something new that'll allow them the ability to have continuity of premium for their child's lifespan, which they otherwise wouldn't have, as well as lock in that guaranteed insurability to have that peace of mind about what's happening. So when the first policies are done being paid, they can continue to pay on policy two, and they can start cranking up policy three, and in a couple of years, policy four, by setting that in stage now. So it's that long-term family thinking that we're considering here. And in fact, he can even utilize the existing policies to kickstart the new ones to get to a point, and then he can backfill them when the premium on policy one is no longer required. He can just redirect the same cash flow to replace the value. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. So
there's a way of thinking about integrating things over a period of a long time when you have known events in the future, and you can get people along that journey of thinking long range like Nelson taught us to do.
Right.
Rich, you have no idea what you just did for our family and for the family that you're talking about. Well, one, amazing. And two, Darius is going to be like Excel sheeting the hell out of what you just explained. So receive a phone call in probably about 48 hours, sir. Yeah. Just like, hey, Rich, what is that one more point? And how did you do that?
You know, Darius, I was going to add to say that in Nelson's book, when he described he responded to the question, what if I'm uninsurable?
Yeah.
And he led the reader through the father who was not life insurable, but put a policy in place on his daughter. And then eventually the father was able to essentially recoup everything that he had paid in premium in the policy. He passed away. His daughter becomes the automatic primary owner of the policy and the cash value in the policy. Nelson went on to ask the question in the book, Doesn't that seem like a little bit like life insurance to you in terms of leaving behind a benefit?
Right.
Go figure. Isn't that amazing?
That was something from the
also
book
not
that
taxable
I didn't see it. Situation. I didn't see it until it was explained years later. And so part of what we love to do, and we know that you both love to do as well, is to bring people back to the book, because the more you see, the more you'll see you didn't see.
Oh my, Yes, bars, absolutely. It's the gift that keeps on giving. You know,
Yeah,
every time you pick it up, you
just
just know that like you're going to get something else. And I wanted to add, Jason, too, to the question that you were asking, like the growth and kind of where we see ourselves and where our just life experiences have brought us. Back in 2022, we had our second daughter. She was born with a terminal illness,
Oh,
and
I'm so sorry.
thank you, but I don't want to take it, you know, take it to a morbid situation, but this is life, right? And so she was diagnosed with this terminal illness. We had 9 amazing months with her and learned so much. And it wasn't until when she passed where we recognized, holy smokes, we have the greatest job in the world. Because what we learned in Vegas, right, just a few weeks ago, we show up with a check. Everyone else needs fees and services and money, money, money. I need this. I need this. There's so many expenses that come when a funeral happens. And you know, we had a little one pass, and it was still crazy expensive. You know, and she didn't have assets or wills or any of that. You know, we didn't have to deal with any of that. And it just put us in a completely different perspective of how we can continue to serve our clients, even outside of the wonderful cash value benefits. You know, a lot of times we feel like the focus is always on, you know, what's my splits, the cash value and this and that. And we're like, yo, family, let's have a conversation about death benefit just for a moment, because this is the real guarantee. It's inevitable. And we need to make sure that you're planning and you're aware of what's going on and you have the right relationships in place for estate, whatever it is, just to make sure that you have your ducks in a row. And our daughter's life gave us such perspective on how we can continue to serve our communities. Because again, this is a topic that a lot of people don't necessarily want to talk about, but it's necessary.
Become your own banker and take back control over your financial life. Hey, is this even possible? You may be asking, can I even do this? Well, you better believe it. In fact, it's easy to get going. So easy that we've put together a free report, 7 Simple Steps to Becoming Your Own Banker. Download it right now. Go to 7steps.ca. That's 7steps.ca. Now let's get back to the episode.
Boy,
it's such a powerful story. Thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners. And it reminds me of one of our mentors, Bob Shields, who said, everyone should die for a week to see what they leave behind in that experience. And then you would know and understand what needs to happen.
100%.
So, I mean, thank you so much for sharing that story, because your perspective in not only doing this and teaching this to other people, but the journey of growth that you have as you go from your beginnings to where you are today to where you will go, all of that's going to formulate a way that you convey the message to people, and you do it with impact and with conciseness, but with emotional connection, because you can really truly share with people what the value, what the importance is of everything that Nelson taught us, and then how you carry that forward now to the people that you serve.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like we said, everything begins and ends with family. Right. And so what we do is such a beautiful opportunity. What we all do is a beautiful opportunity to serve our families and everyone else. Right. Business owners, whomever you are, we got your back.
Well, I'll say as well, you know, from one being a father of four and one parent to another, there are no words. That's unimaginable. But to see you both in strength and having still, you know, that servant heart and wanting to bless other people's lives in a positive way, and recognizing that there are many people out there who discourage parents from insuring their newborn children, and while that's really unfortunate, the more we can shine a bright light on the truth and the advantage of taking care of family, and also acknowledging and respecting that life is precious, and we just simply do not know when we are going to graduate.
Right.
But we do know that that time will come. And when that death benefit shows up exactly when it's needed the most, we have had to fulfill that duty of care on a number of occasions. And not once has a family said, we had hoped the check would be for less money. It brings a sense of immediate relief financially so that you can take the time to grieve the way that you should.
100%.
And you can take the time to celebrate that the life of that loved one that's no longer here. Mm-hmm. And you can do it in a way that honors them and not worry about anything financially as a result of that. And much like the both of you, like on our journey, we just find that the more that we simplify it, the more that we attract the right additions to our client community.
Amen.
Yeah. Versus we've all been through that part of our journey of comparison and perhaps overthinking it or overanalyzing it or buying into this notion that comparing it to some other financial product has any merit whatsoever. I just heard in a podcast earlier, I said somebody had made a comment. It comes up often. What about, pick whatever. Well, what about buy term and invest the difference? Okay, well, what does that have to do specifically with controlling how you finance the things that you need throughout your lifetime?
Very easy question.
Right. Take all the time you need. And then
what'd you say?
Right.
Back. So, you in the back? What was that?
Was that crickets that I heard? What was that? But this really again brings us back to words have meaning. And what Nelson shared in his words have meaning. Unless you understand the problem, the solution just won't matter to you. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I bring it back to just from one parent to another, like all sincerity, our hearts go out to you both. That is just unimaginable. And there are no words.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, and our daughter, Izzy, with this whole process, right, of thinking about why in the world would you get a life insurance policy on a newborn? And, you just never know how things are going to work out. And in her name, Darius and I are very much working on, what does charity look like? What does family trust opportunities? What does the give back look like? And with her death benefit, we're able to serve more, right? So, you can think about this opportunity to be able to continue the family legacy in different forms. Right. Yeah. It just depends on, what life presents to you and then how you go forward. So we always say that things don't happen to you. Things happen for you. And we're always trying to be as happy learners as we possibly can and enjoying the journey because life is so precious.
Yeah. What would life be without death?
Right. Yeah. 1,000%. And it was so great to see you both.
Yes.
At the annual Infinite Banking Think Tank Conference. And, credit to David Stearns if he has the opportunity to watch this or view it. But he had mentioned that specifically. He said, that I recall they had been here once before and it'd be nice to have them back. They're the type of people that I think really would fit in here in the community. And that's been our position since getting acquainted.
Six years ago?
And so it was really nice to have you both there. And, we're building a bigger future for the Institute. Our hope is, and the feedback has evidenced that, but people coming back and saying it just felt different. It felt like a new beginning. It felt like things are going to progress in a really, really positive, abundant way. And so it was nice to see you both there.
Yeah, it really felt like a reunion over the years of doing teaching a concept. You establish relationships with people and you see people, and going there is when I really realized, like, oh man, like all the people that I see on YouTube or all the relationships that I've established over these years, everybody's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is where we should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I want to give kudos to the both of you because Rich, you emceed the hell out of that event. I mean, my
did great.
you maintained the energy levels. You were entertaining. You were thoughtful. You herded the cats. I mean, you did such a phenomenal job. So I definitely want to give you your flowers. And also, Jason, you and your family, your nephew, your sons, and yourself. All of your presentations, I had, tissues out the wazoo because of the family piece is just, I was just so connected from the boys' presentations and then with you and seeing what you do with your family. So it was phenomenal to be a fly on the wall and to be in the same room as you all.
Likewise. You saying that, I suspect the camera guy wasn't as happy because both Jason and I tend to move around a stage a lot. Are those guys?
Will you just stay put? I'm trying to get the angle.
Stay behind the podium.
It's never been Richard's strong suit. What I'd love to hear, because having that experience, of course, and you know we're recording this, so we have a lot of obviously advisors and other people maybe who are thinking about attending a think tank or becoming a member of the institute or what have you. What would you share to folks listening in about your experience, and what were some of the big takeaways and things that you really got out of being at this year's event?
For me, I would say it's a reminder that you're not crazy. This thing called whole life, you know, it actually kind of works. It makes sense. And when you're in a room full of all those people who think the same, and we're able to have these really thoughtful conversations, you're like, okay, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Okay. I'm in the right place. Mm-hmm. So that was me, I would say. But it was just, another reminder of the amazing opportunity we have to influence amazing change in our societies. I know that Darius and I, we're going after closing the gap because we recognize that 50% of Americans don't have life insurance. Yeah. And so for us, that's our mission. We got to close that gap, baby, because you know, families need protection. And so when you look across the room and you're like, wow, we're all here on the same mission, trying to do the same thing. It's just a really great room to be a part of because everyone's willing to help and to share and to learn and to connect. And like Darius said, for us, it was also a confirmation, like we've been doing this thing for a little bit because we knew some people in the room. So it was really, really nice for us to get back into that environment.
Yeah, I would second the mentality piece of it. The mental piece, because you do kind of feel like you're on an island just talking into the camera, talking about the Nelson Nash book by yourself.
Right.
and going there and being around other people that's just as excited about it as you is a good recharge. Yeah. It was an amazing recharge. I'm still going off a high from the event. And I'm sure that's in our work ethic as we seen how other people are doing things, how other people connect with clients, their different angles and conversations that they're focused on, niches. I guess it's an abundance thinking.
There we go.
What I got when I was there, it's an abundance thinking that, yes, we can all be in this space together helping everyone. There's more people that need help than there are people that can help. So if anybody's on the fence about whether or not they should come or not, come and figure it out while you're there, because there's a ton more people out there that need everybody's help than Infinite Banking right now can help.
Mm-hmm. Agreed wholeheartedly. Uh-huh. And that's precisely the type of culture that we're really working purely on a volunteer basis to help cultivate. And so it attracts people who are in an abundant mindset, who recognize that, you know, one person's creativity is not a threat to yours in any way, shape, or form. In fact, if you put two great creative people or teams together, they both become greater as a result. It's not a right. It's not a subtraction. It's an addition. And when people grasp that and they see it, and then they simulate it where collaboration happens and people get together and they, whether they join forces temporarily, maybe for a special project, or they join forces and combine their unique capabilities, greatness happens.
Yes.
If it's the right who's mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. the right mindset versus mm-hmm. what can I get from so-and-so? How, what can they do for me? Well, why don't we focus on serving rather than being served and watch what happens?
Ooh, mm-hmm. You said a mouthful. Amen to that. Yeah.
Incredible.
We can tell an end right here. You know, oh, what did you just say? Think about how you serve instead of you can be served. Like yeah. I gotta write that.
Think about serving rather than being served.
Being served. Thank mm-hmm. you. Yes.
And watch what happens.
And I think that's evidenced. You guys can see evidence of that in your own life, just relative to the fact that you've been building a nation, a wealth nation. Mm-hmm. And because of that effort and that energy and a great marketing method, and you know, and as well as a lot of like stick factor and consistency, what have you done? You've built an amazing channel. You have a lot of subscribers. It increases your reach. Mm-hmm. It allows you to be able to serve more people. So not only there's a combination of of tech and leverage and those kind of things going on. But fundamentally, you know, the value of service that you can relay and can provide to the world can be exponentially increased by the virtue of the legwork that you've put. You've got, so Nelson talks about capitalization. Don't be afraid to capitalize.
Yeah.
We reference that, of course, when we talk to people about the idea of an insurance policy, the idea of premium dollars and focusing your energy and your financial energy into a vault-like tool that gives you amazing capacity. That's how our brain usually stems from. But what I want you to also recognize and understand is that you guys have entered the world of capitalization. You've just done it through YouTube. You've capitalized through the time, effort, and energy of creating video content, putting the dollars into getting, upgrading your equipment, to getting a video editor, to all the various stages that you do in the growth of a business. Nelson talked about teaching people how to grow a business and use the grocery store as an example so that he could teach a point. You guys have done the same thing. You've just done it on a YouTube business effectively. Yeah. So you've been capitalizing for 6 years so that the ability to now get some steam, live steam happening, as Nelson talks about in the book. And that really can be evidenced by the amount of people that you can impact through service to help reach that goal of closing the gap, as you identified, Carmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well put. 100%.
Yeah, I love that analogy. I think of, as you were saying, I think of when we were recording videos with our cell phones on the couch. It's like the first year of premiums.
Yeah. And he's like, I got the spreadsheet to prove it.
Yeah, I got the spreadsheet and everything.
It was really hard to fill in that spreadsheet on my cell phone, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy, right? Mm-hmm. Now premiums have dropped off. We smoke it, baby. We good.
There we go. We know that.
if you think about on your channel, the length of time that it took to achieve 100,000 subscribers compared to the length of time that it will take to get to 200,000, that window is going to be much smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than the first 100. I was speaking to a gentleman in Family Mastermind, which is credit to Matt Andrews. If you ever have occasion to watch this, you're incredible. And so this mastermind, one of the members had said, I received this accolade for, you know, one million views or something related to a piece of content. And that took 6 years. And to get to 2 million views, it only took another 2 months.
Woo-hoo! Wow.
So talk about live steam. And when you get to that, as Nelson described in the book, when you get to 210 degrees, all you have is a pot of really hot water. But once you get to 212, you've created live steam.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of energy went into it up to that boiling point. But once you get there, the power becomes enormous. And so that's what you've done in sharing and educating and really, truly blessing other people's lives in a positive way. Because I couldn't think of a single video on your channel. And again, for our viewers on the YouTubes, just go over to Wealth Nation. That's the channel that you want to subscribe to. But I couldn't think of finding a single video where the two of you are miserable. Right? Like, it's like, okay, this is the only piece of content where we're going to show up and be totally miserable. Like, you know, you're both happy.
I mean, that's what it, yeah.
That's positive. A good perspective. We cut that out. You know, that's what we pay the editors for.
We have to edit out now when we're having fun, because we were getting comments like, why are you smiling so much? What do you mean? I need to sit here and do a video with my wife.
That'd be it. So kudos to you.
My wife every day.
Great work that you're doing. And your channel is just now the momentum that you have, it is going to just grow exponentially much faster than that first milestone, which on any YouTube channel, that is a significant milestone to achieve. That is not easy to do.
1,000 subscribers.
Yeah. It's
difficult. It's a lot.
Now it's going to, that snowball is going to be incredible. And
we're pulling for a million, you know, that's on our vision board.
All right.
Subscribers is in our reach. And also too, like I know a lot of advisors, right, are watching. The biggest thing, like if you are ever hesitant on starting YouTube, the thing that we have also been able to realize is we could never physically get in front of the amount of people that we're able to get in front of virtually.
Yeah.
Unless we just didn't want to be together and didn't want a family life, you know? And so it was a lot of us watching our mentors, as I'm sure you all know, you know, and they were flying all over the country and all over the world to meet with clients, and they had families at home, and that's fine for them, right? That's what they were cool with. But when we looked at it, we were like, we actually want to be together more than we want to be apart. And we want a vacation. We want to get on a plane for vacation, not necessarily only for client calls. Not that we don't want to hang out with our clients, right? But, you know, we want family time. We want to be able to prioritize the things that we love to do.
Boy, did we get what we were asking for.
And using your cell phone, I'm looking for my cell phone, is the easiest way to get in front of 10, 15, 20 people, you know, just in the beginning, thousands of people. And as you all see on your YouTube channel too, like, you know, there's a large percentage of the individuals who aren't subscribed. So, you know, that your audience is even larger than what the numbers say, you know, for the vanity metric standpoint. But it's a beautiful opportunity to connect with people and for people to start to know, like, and trust you. Just based off of who you are, because at the end of the day, your people are going to be your people. That's and right. There's no such thing as, you know, competition out here. You know, everybody's like, why do you guys teach people how to do YouTube? Like, come on, Burger King and McDonald's are right next to each other. Somebody got to eat, you know, like,
totally.
Let's go.
Totally.
Let's all help each other. You know, we all grow together and we all continue to educate families as much as we can.
Yeah.
And just have a ball doing it.
I think it's really awesome how you identified just the impact of making that initial decision, how many people you can impact, because again, you're trying to create the life that you want. You guys took the time to vision board, to talk it out, to have those discussions before the cameras went on, right? Yeah. What is it that you really want your life to be like? And then you said, oh, well, here's a medium that we're already getting requests to do things that would simplify their life, serve the people who are asking for it, give them what they want. And by doing that, it turns out we can also get more of the thing that we want, which is kind of interesting. And I remember when Jason and I first started talking about launching a podcast, there was some, you know, for me, I remember, you know, like, hey, I don't care if we get subscribers. We don't need to make any generating revenue. That'd be great. We'd love to have that. Let's put that on a vision board. That'd be awesome. But fundamentally, if we can create the leverage of being able to give people the things and the information that they need so they can consume it at their time, at their schedule, on the drive to work, they don't have to try and get into our calendar to get that information. And we can be able to convey the information on a regular basis. That would be a huge win. And then when a question comes up in the future, hey, you know what? We had a great interview with Carmen and Darius about that. Hey, let me just send you the link to that so you can get all that information. So that was a real way to create leverage, time leverage, but also to add a lot of value, because not everybody time, you know, when you're working across time zones, you guys work with people all over the United States. You're in almost every time zone in North America. You know, sometimes it's hard to pinpoint calendars down. So the fact that you have that 24/7 outlook on being able to give people the information they need, when they need it, when they want it, at the right time, and their preferred learning method. They can listen to it on audio. They can turn it on if they want to go and ask ChatGPT to transcribe it so they can read it on the airplane. You know, you have the ability to give them all those tools. And I think, you know, for people listening, and it's really important to understand, whatever business that you're in, whatever it is that you're doing, recognize all the effort and energy that Carmen and Darius have put into growing an amazing business through the use of YouTube. But their business isn't YouTube. YouTube has been an amplifier for the business that they are actually in, if that makes any sense.
Well, very, you know, you both probably can relate to this when people connect with you and they make that comment where they say, gosh, I feel like I already know you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that, what better icebreaker to a conversation is there than somebody saying, look, I've literally been stalking you on YouTube for the last 2 months and I feel like I already know you and I'm just ready to get started. Like I feel equipped knowledge-wise to take that next step and begin to go down a path of implementing this. And so when you both think of Nelson's book, is there one element of the book that just resonates with you the most whenever you think about it? I'm always quite curious to know that from fellow colleagues in who have been on this journey for a number of years and likely have read the book several times. Is there something in the book that just continues to resonate with you?
What continues to resonate with me, I'm kind of like a numbers guy. First thing that came to my mind is him buying his equipment.
Yeah.
But as, mm-hmm. as I think about it more, it's when he gave the example of the gentleman spending all his money in his house, mm-hmm. and how typically people are in houses for about 5 years and then they move, but they have all this money that they put into interest and nothing to show for it. That's probably the biggest, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about the Nelson Nash book is how much we really need this and how much we're subscribed to giving it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. And we just had a great conversation with an existing client on an interview right before this. And we made a comment about, you know, there are a number of financial influencers out there, including, you know, the Susies and the Daves and people who they serve their communities in the best way that they feel that they are. But one of the comments that had come up was a remark that your income is your greatest wealth building tool. And we feel differently about that. We think that your income is the banker's greatest mm-hmm. wealth building tool. And so acknowledging what you just shared around this all-American young man who, and sort of relating to the example of making the wheels of the banking business and the real estate business turn in that exact order. And yet people don't understand the importance of banking in their lives. They don't understand, in fact, they abdicate the responsibility, but most importantly, the opportunity that controlling that function in your life represents. And so it's really interesting to hear you say the equipment financing and the analogy that Nelson used about where the money's flowing to and who that's actually benefiting.
Yeah. If you keep your eyes on where your money's going, then you'll start realizing, why is it not in my pocket? Well, if you following the flow of money, it's flowing out of your household, out of your system and into somebody else's.
That's right. So
ideally what you want to do when you think about infinite banking is control that mechanism or that system in which you use to finance everything in your life, whether you pay for cash or any other means.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. One of the interesting pinpoint things that I recognize here, Darius, and maybe you can confirm for me, but having the engineering background, self-proclaimed numbers guy, sounds like what really initially connected with you and really helped you get deeper understanding was the equipment financing example in mm-hmm. Nelson's book, which is, you know, in my opinion, you know, for all the people I've talked to in 16 years, the most difficult part of the book to understand and to get through, because you're flipping back and forth and you're going through lots of numbers. And yet you've almost shifted. It's not that that doesn't still matter of value to you, but the recognition that the part of the book that has the most meaning or value for you today, and in probably in relation to how you convey it to others, is actually the problem of where's the money going? Who's got mm-hmm. the money? So there's the problem.
Always follow the numbers. That's what helped me in my career as an engineer. And even now, if to answer any question, you just follow the numbers.
Where's it flowing to? Mm-hmm. And how about you, Carmen? What is your one part of the book that really resonates with you time and time again?
So I'm like Darius, for me, I like graphics and pictures. So the pool of funds is always very much ingrained in my memory, yeah. Because that was such a transformative visual for me to see, especially the ignorance that I had with where my money is going, how the bank is using it, how insurance companies could even use it in dividends and all this thing. And so once I really understood how to read the pool of funds graphic, I was like, whoa, okay, we can do something with this. And that gave me the knowledge really that I needed in order to take action and to move forward, because I could see it visually on how that the pool of funds is just an opportunity for us all to play, right? You know, let's all jump in the sandbox, but we just have to figure out what line in the sandbox, how long are we going to be waiting to get access to that is really what resonated with me.
Wow, that's powerful.
We can all swim in the same pool of money. We're just going to do it with one insurance company that we co-own that pool together. Sounds like a pretty darn good. Hey, man, when you go to the pool, there's usually other people there. You're all swimming mm-hmm. together. It's all good. That's why they build the pool. They build it to accept more people.
Exactly. Well,
that's what the insurance company money pool is all about. Same idea.
Mm-hmm. Really good. Really good.
I want to circle back a little bit because of what you guys shared about a family, and something stirred with me a little bit as you're talking about an even generation of age classes and, you know, grandparents getting policies on the children and so forth. And a story came to mind, something that we learned from Nelson, and this actually happened when we were doing the filming and kind of in David's house and had Nelson in the front of the chair and doing some of the stuff for the documentary film that's become the documentary for Nelson. And we learned something that, Nelson kind of determined it wasn't there's no such thing as a problem, but it was a realization that there was something that they could have done differently. And, you know, Nelson was still getting policies right up until about a month and a half or so before he passed away. Amazing. And he was getting them on great grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues that they found that they were having an issue was with underwriting, because parent wanted to get a policy. Grandparent wanted to get a policy. Great grandparent wanted to get a policy. And when you have all that premium lined up, you get a pretty good stack of death benefit.
Right.
And a life company doesn't really want to let that slide because they don't recognize the value in it. And so that became a challenge. And the challenge, what they really realized was, well, we didn't have enough death benefit on the parent of the child to validate the total death benefit on this grandchild or great grandchild. Mm-hmm. So therefore, what we needed to do is we needed to increase earlier on. If we had earlier on increased the death benefit on that first person who's going to be the parent of this next generation, it would have simplified the ability to create that additional expansion of the system.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the idea of guaranteed insurability, putting that type of thing like a rider like that on policies was very beneficial. But just in recognition of that, that's one lesson that Nelson learned much later on, much closer to the period of time where he was graduating. And thankfully, he was able to convey that down to us so that we can share that with others as well. Yeah. And so now teaching this work, you have the ability through your community. I mean, that might be a great video to talk about and say, hey, you know, if we're really thinking long range, we're building a future much bigger than our past, and we're thinking about the generations that come after us, here's some of the thinking that we need to have in place in regards to how we can really start to build that underlying structure that's going to give us all that long-term capacity.
Right.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. That's perfect timing. Yeah.
Did we say something out loud? Oh, yeah. That's why you went back. Okay.
Well, and I'll share with you too, something that you might find valuable is that one of the things that we do, so I have a list of sort of this ongoing, call it instructions. You know, God forbid if the unthinkable happened, and it's in a Google Doc, and I'll update it with videos that I think my kids should absolutely be watching from our channel, from other channels. And so I just put the links in the document.
Mm-hmm.
So now with YouTube and having this ability where the content will be there in perpetuity, when we record something great or I come across something, whether it's your channel, whether it's other colleagues' channels that also have great content, I'll just copy paste the link to that video and I'll put it in the document to say, you need to watch this.
Oh, you got me.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And then, oh, so good.
Right? So it points them. They don't have to go on, because by that time, you'll both have 842,000 videos on your channel, right? And your family's going to be like, where do we even begin?
Right, right.
Give them
skip the whole first 2 years.
it even makes me think about going and re-recording some of our old content to update it.
Yeah. Gosh, that's so good. I mean, it got me emotional because I was just thinking about thinking of the generations before us and how difficult it might have been to get access to information. Yeah. And Jason, you just said a Google Doc, you know what I'm saying? It's at your fingertips. And for you to be able to leave resource after resource after resource, you know, breadcrumb after breadcrumb after breadcrumb. Like that's the dopest thing I've heard all week.
There you have it. Wow. There you go. See? Great.
Nugget.
You put two greats together, they become greater.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Rich.
Good.
Take us home, brother.
Well, guys, we really appreciate you getting on the program here again. It's been a long time coming, and it was awesome getting a chance to connect with you. Although, granted, I was a little preoccupied with some event stuff, so I didn't get a chance to really sit down and have a great conversation. So thankfully, we were able to do this, and I really am grateful for that. One of the things we love to do here is we love to help our audience understand a bit more about our guests by really getting some clarity on what it is most important to them in relation to who they want to be a hero to. So our question for you guys is, who do you most want to be a hero to?
All right, let me go first so I can make sure I don't cry. But I want to be a hero to my daughter.
All right, cue my turn. Yeah, for us, going back, looping it all back again, you know, it all begins and ends with family. And so with the life experiences that we've been lucky enough to have, we're just so grateful to be in our daughter's lives at any capacity and to share any little bit of information we can with them. And now it's all going on a Google Doc. Thank you, Jason. to our girls, because they're coming after us, and watch out, world. It's going to be amazing to see what they'll be able to create from our creations.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. You are both truly wonderful people, and you have great hearts. And to know that you're sharing this message day in and day out, it is nice to have colleagues who share the same enthusiasm and ambition and want to serve others rather than be served. And we thank you both sincerely for being on the program. We are going to have you back. Because there will come a time where you won't have the time to be on our show.
Oh, no. Come on now. Never.
Yeah. Who are those two Canadian guys again? What do they want? But we're very humbled. We thank you both for being generous with your time and spending some of it with us. And to all of our viewers on the YouTubes, you just saw another video show up on the playlist. And that's because we have a great editing team. And we know that there's no destination or landing spot for learning. So always be learning. There's always something new to learn. And we've curated this content especially for you. So continue that journey. And be sure to head on over to Wealth Nation, the YouTube channel, subscribe, begin to consume that content. You will be glad that you did. We know you're going to love it. So everyone, make the rest of your week outstanding. This was phenomenal.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Without Bay Street podcast, where your wealth matters. Be sure to check out our social media channels for more great content. Hit subscribe on your favorite podcast player and be sure to rate the show. We definitely appreciate it. And don't forget to share this episode with someone you care about. Join us on the next episode where we continue to uncover the financial tools, strategies, and the mindsets that maximize your wealth.